podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Now we know that Jesus many times just told stories like this and let it go, you know. Basically said, you figure out what it means. For him who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you can get it, good for you. Well, fortunately, in this story, some of the disciples wanted to know more. So skip down to verse 18 with me, verse 18 of Matthew chapter 13. "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown." So the Lord has a plan for your life. We've been talking about the fact that we can never really reach the time in our lives where we can honestly and really say on a spiritual level, this is the life, until God brings us there, until we allow Him to bring us there. He saved you so that you can have abundant life, life overflowing, life like you could never have dreamed, beyond your dreams, like a field that's overloaded with fully developed wheat. God wants for your life to be fruitful and overflowing with His blessing. That's what this passage talks about, right? The best case scenario is that we become fruitful. We are good soil. We hear the word. We understand it. It produces a crop and it yields 160 or 30 times what was sown, many more times than the seed that was planted in our life. We overflow abundantly, more than we could ever expect or dream. And He wants for you to have that type of life. He wants for you to be satisfied, lacking nothing. He wants for you to feel significant, for you to know that you are at the center of His will. This is what God wants for you. He wants you to enjoy the life that He created for you. He wants for you to be stable and to be mature in Him. He wants for the runoff of your lives to go into others' lives so that they may be blessed by the life that God has given you. This is what He wants for you. He wants for us to be fruitful and stable and secure and significant and satisfied. This is the life. God has a way of getting you to the place where He wants you, in order to get you to that place where you are fully grown, fully mature, satisfied, significant, fruitful. He sows seed into your life. Now, I know you just wish that He would just make you into a fruitful harvest like that, right? But no, God's plan is to start with the seed and then for us to grow in maturity to the place where He would have us to be. We look forward to being who God has created us to be. And I know last week we had Meredith up here and she was making some pottery for us. And so that image, I hope, is still implanted in your brain throughout the week, that God is the potter and we are His clay and He shapes us and molds us and makes. Well, there's another image in this passage of Scripture, this story that Jesus told, and that is the sower, the farmer, as he walks through the rows and throws the seed. Can you see him in your mind? Now, we don't have him here this morning because someone would have to vacuum afterwards, but he would throw the seed. And just imagine that as I'm preaching this morning, that there is a sower. He is walking down the aisle and he is scattering the seed of God's word into your life. And it's dropping into your life and falling into your heart. And the question is, what's going to happen with that seed when it lands in your life? We saw best case scenario. Ultimately, what God wants for each and every one of us is to have the abundant, overflowing life, that we will be fruitful and that there will be a great harvest in our hearts and in our lives. That's what He wants for us. So His word falls into your life. You hear His word. Not just on Sunday mornings. I know that some of you do devotions in the morning and you pick up your Bible and you read some verses out of the Bible that will kind of anchor you for that day, and you hear the word of God. I know that you catch pieces of His word throughout the day. Maybe you listen to Christian radio and they recite scripture verses from time to time and you hear that. Or maybe you're on social media and you read verses that your friends post, and sometimes you have to stop and just read the verse and let it sink in. You hear the word of God. It's being sown constantly into your life. The question is, what's happening with that seed? Is it growing to the place where it needs to grow? God's plan is for His word to fully mature in you, creating abundant life. But stuff happens along the way to maturity. There are times in your life when your heart is hard and you just don't want to hear the word. For whatever reason, see, the seed of God's word bounces off your closed eardrum. You will not listen. You say, la, 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 I can't hear you, God. I know you're trying to talk, la, la, but I'm not ready to hear what you have to say, God. Now, why do we do such a thing? Maybe it's because we think we know it all already. Right? I've heard it, God. I've heard it. I've read your word all the way through. You know, a few years back, I did that whole read through the Bible thing. I've been to Sunday school all my life. I've heard it before, God. I don't need to hear it anymore. Maybe that's what it's all about. We think we know it all already. But whatever it is, maybe your life is so full of other things that the path of your heart has been trampled down, and it's just so hard that when the word lands in your life, it just sits there. It has nowhere else to go because you're so trampled down. And so the enemy sees it laying there, and like the bird in Jesus' story, comes and snatches it away, and it never has a chance of maturing or even getting started in your heart. And so the word of God lies there, unheard, unappreciated, and then finally snatched away. Because I believe that we might receive the word from God and it may sit on our lives for a while, but if we don't act on it, God may just remove it from our lives. Then there are times in your life when the word drops in and you hear it, and it begins to send out some roots, some feelers, you know. And man, the message of the word is sweet. It's full of wisdom. It makes sense to you, and you latch on to it. You intend to follow it and cherish it and nourish it. You really want to grow. You fully intend to obey the word and to apply it in your heart and in your life, to put it into practice. In fact, you even tell some folks around you, you know what? I'm really excited about this. I'm going to do something about the word. And maybe you even walk down the aisle in church and say, I need to change. I need to do something in my life here because the word has taken root. Finally, God has a hold of your life. finally you know what the abundant life really is. Your eyes are beginning to open to what it is, and God's word begins to take root, and there's evidence of this rapid growth in your heart and your life. But then you face some trouble. It's the way Jesus put it. Some trouble. Something's not going right in your life. There's a test. There's a trial. That old temptation starts coming back again. Perhaps people in your life laugh at you and talk behind your back. You know? Yeah, like she's really going to grow in the Lord this time. We've seen this before, right? And they start making fun of you. And then in those moments of trouble, right? Crisis moments, instead of turning to the Lord and allowing His Word to continue in your life, you just fall back into your old way of life. See, it's so comfortable. It's like an old mattress. You just fall back into the old way of life and say, well, maybe not this time. And the Word, it turns out, had shallow roots in your life. And the heat of the day, it withers and it falls away. So then there are other times in your life when the Word drops in, and when you hear it and you are moved by it and you make this decision to obey it, I'm really going to go with the Word this time, and you begin to clear space for the Word in your heart and in your life, and you take what you've heard and you begin to apply it and you begin to live it, and you see the changes, you experience a glimmer of that abundant life that Jesus has promised, you find satisfaction and significance in it. You know, you're beginning to develop fruit, and you're at a time in your life where the Word is changing you for the better, and people are beginning to notice, and the enemy begins to notice, and the enemy cannot allow the Word to go unchallenged in your heart. He sees this growth taking place, and so what happens? In the midst of your growth in the Word, the enemy starts sending you messages of his own. So in the midst of God sowing his seed in your life, the enemy is also sowing a different kind of seed in your life. Jesus calls them thorns. They're weeds. They have the tendency to crowd out the truth because they are lies. And the enemy sows them in our life. You know what? You're really not satisfied. You're not satisfied. The world has so much more to offer than God does. You know what? You deserve so much more than what you're getting. I mean, look at the world around you. Look at what everybody else has. Why aren't you enjoying what they have? You're not significant. Nobody cares about you anymore. Nobody even likes you. And you turn away from the Word in order to chase after worldly satisfaction, worldly approval, worldly security. But God loves you, and He fully approves of you in Christ. But at this point, you could care less. You just want to hear words of approval from others. They matter more to you than God does right now. And the growth of the Word in your life is destroyed, and it's choked by the weeds and the thorns. And the abundant life that God has planned for you is now dried up and useless. But God keeps sowing His Word. He keeps sowing His Word. And the possibility of abundant life continues. So here are some of the truths you need to embrace from God's Word this morning. One is this, that God's Word has huge potential in your life. See, God's Word has huge potential in your life. You see the potential at the end of the story. It's incredible, the harvest that comes from just these small seed that are sown. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, overflowing, more than they could ever dream or imagine. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, what God has planned for people who love Him is more than eyes have seen or ears have heard. It has never even entered our minds. See, what God has for us is so big, it's so huge, it's so amazing that we can't even imagine it with our little finite minds. The Bible is full of blessings for people who will obey God's Word. You can read from cover to cover, blessing after blessing after blessing for those who will obey God's word. For those in whom the seed is planted and received, there is maturity, there is stability, there is significance and satisfaction and joy and contentment and peace and strength and hope and answered prayer and salvation and guidance and ultimate victory. And we could go on and on and on about all of the blessings that come to those who will take God's word into their heart and obey it. There's no telling what you can become when the word of God takes root in your life. You will be a much better version of you. You will be a holy you. That means set apart to God. It will affect every area of your life. See, it's not just about you. It's about your family, and it's about your church and your community. It will affect everyone around you if you allow the word to take root in your heart. God's word has huge potential in your life. However, the success of God's word depends on you. It depends on you. Okay, yeah, the word of God is powerful. It's like a seed, right, that can have this tremendous harvest if it's planted in the ground and tended well. But you see, if it's not planted in the right place and it's not tended well and it falls on a hardened heart, what happens? The potential is gone. See, the success of God's word, if we are ever going to reach that potential, it depends on you and me. The reason that the word did not succeed in the scenarios that Jesus presented in the parable of the sower is not because there's something wrong with the seed, right? God's word is perfect. The problem is the condition of the soil, the condition of our hearts, the condition of the life of the one who receives God's word. Some lives are prepared to receive it, and others are not. There are times in your life when a passage of Scripture can hit you like a ton of bricks. Have you ever felt the Word of God come at you like a sledgehammer, just pounding away at your life? But then there are other times when that very same exact passage of Scripture can brush against you lightly like a feather, and you don't even feel it. Well, what's the difference between the sledgehammer day and the feather day? Jesus says it's the condition of our lives, the condition of our hearts, that determines how it will be received. The success of God's word depends on you. So for a few moments, I'd like for you to focus in on Jesus' teaching in verse 22 here of Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus says, "The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful." So do you see that there are two concerns that have the ability to stunt the word's growth in your life? These are big problems, right? They are thorns that have the ability to choke out the word once it's taken root. Once it's on its way to maturity, once things are rolling along and your Christian life is really at a good pace, there are two concerns that will stunt the word's growth. The first concern that stunts the word's growth in your life is worldly worries. Right? The worries of this life, Jesus said, choke the word, making it unfruitful. The worries of this life will stunt the word's growth in your life and will keep you from experiencing that abundant life that Jesus promised. Well, what are the worries of this life? Right? We could probably go around the room and talk about all the worries that we have in this life. There are plenty of worries to go around. In fact, the word for worry here in the Greek language is souvlaki. I was just joking there, by the way. Some of you are worried about the souvlaki. It's going to be good. It's going to be delicious. But no, that's not what the word for worry is. But I can tell you what that word means. The actual word for worry here in the original language means to split. Right? To split. Have you ever been reading the Bible and your mind splits? Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been sitting in a sermon and your mind splits? Come on back, you know? You know what it means then. The worries of the world split your mind. How that works is you are focusing in on truth, and the worries and the anxieties and the troubles and the what-ifs of this world take over, and your mind is split, it's divided into pieces, and you no longer can focus, in this case, on the Word of God. What if I get sick? What if someone I love passes away? What if we get an accident? What if we can't afford the mortgage? What if I lose my job? What if God doesn't really have my back in all of this? If I don't believe the Bible the way that I should? What happens? What if? What if? And what happens if I do believe the Bible? What happens if I do follow after God? What happens if I do grow in my Christian faith? You know what will happen? My opinion will be unpopular because I will be politically incorrect, and now people won't like me. So maybe I really don't want to follow this word thing because people won't like me because I won't have the consensus as far as political correctness is concerned. I won't have the approval that I need to feel good about myself. And so although we may hear the word and even believe that the word is truth, it falls apart at the level of our life because we are too worried to truly rely on God. The worries of this world will stunt the word's growth. The second concern that stunts the word's growth is worldly wealth. Worldly wealth. Jesus said, the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. So there are two ways in which this happens, and probably more than that. But one is when we have wealth, we have more than enough, right? And we are constantly looking for ways to enjoy it, right? Some of you are saying, I wish I had that problem, man. We have so much that we're looking for ways to spend it. What can I buy next, man? You know, what's going to thrill me next? What's going to excite me next? I need to purchase something. But we're never satisfied. We just move on to the next thing. That first thing got old. Now we go on to the next thing. That experience, the vacation, whatever it is we purchased, it's gone. Now we got to move on to the next thing. Looking for satisfaction in this wealth. That is the deceitfulness of wealth. And it will keep us chasing our tails for our entire lives if we're not careful. But the other way that we do that is we don't have enough. We don't have enough. And we're constantly worried about our needs. And so what happens is we envy others around us who have stuff, and we fall into depression because we realize we will never quite measure up to them and what they have established. The deceitfulness of wealth is this: it promises us something that only God can deliver. Right? Wealth promises us something that only God can deliver. If you think that wealth is going to bring you satisfaction and security and significance and blessing, then guess what? Wealth has become your God. Because it's only from God that we receive those things. It's only through the Lord that we can ever have abundant life, not through wealth. So these two thorns that Jesus talks about, our worries and our wealth, can have a tremendous influence on your life. You know, I would challenge you to sit down and think about the influence that your worries and your wealth have on your Christian life. And how even though the Word of God has had an opportunity to grow in you, and even though you've begun to obey the Word of God and do what God has called you to do, how easy it would be for the worries and the wealth, these worldly things, to choke it out and to fall apart. I can say, honestly speaking, from a pastor's perspective, that I have seen many strong believers fall away because of worries and wealth. And I can say, as a human being, not just a pastor, but as a human being, that I have seen concerns about worry and wealth pull me away from following after the Lord. This is a problem we all face. So the Word of God will not flourish in a heart environment where wealth and worries have become idols. It doesn't flourish there. Now, where do these worries and about issues and all of these wealth problems, where does all this come from? Where does all this come from? You know, I don't believe it comes directly from our own hearts, even though our own hearts are wicked. But it comes from outside of us as well. Now, I think we could point out the obvious culprits, right? The media, advertising, the rich neighbors. But lately, I have been made aware of another source of thorns in Christians' lives, right? It's called Facebook. Now, if you don't believe me, just watch this short video.
Good morning, Facebook. What's new?
Good morning, Facebook. What's new?
Hey, someone commented on my photo.
Ugh, look at that. Rachel Klein is showing off her new job again. What do you know?
Loving the new beer belly, dude. You wear it well. Ha ha.
Off to London this time. What's that? 3 times overseas this year?
Well, Brad, some of us don't have the luxury of spending 2 hours at the gym every day, you jerk.
Looks like she's living the dream.
Not that I wouldn't like to.
I see Meredith has a new outfit again.
Oh, look at this. Jason's getting his master's degree.
Gosh, I really like it too.
Way to go, buddy.
I wonder who makes it.
One of us actually went and did it.
Guess she's got money to burn.
Oh, Blake, Cal, and Ryan all went out last night. Thanks for the invitation, guys.
The Wilsons are having another baby.
Guess I'm not as good of friends with them as I thought.
I guess getting pregnant is no problem for some people.
I'm so sick of Jim posting.
Oh my gosh, Katie.
About how great it is.
Your husband
to be
is perfect.
Free.
Your children are perfect.
Good for you.
Whole family is perfect.
Why aren't you just perfect?
And you've got artistic professional photos taken in a field somewhere to prove it.
Oh man, I love this guy's design work.
Look at this kid's birthday
it's just
party.
So good.
Bounce house. Pony rides, slip and slide.
It's effortless.
The expectations are so high.
I feel like I'm playing peewee baseball to his major league.
How could I even afford something like this?
Why do I even bother?
Why do I even bother?
What? They gave it to Cynthia? I interviewed for that position like 3 times. I was a shoo-in.
Another fabulous meal out for Rick and Jill.
I needed that promotion.
Yeah, I'd be that happy too if I were eating at Bistro Mode.
I'm gonna be stuck doing the same thing for the rest of my career.
I wonder why John never initiates date nights.
What am I doing wrong?
Seems like Rick is pretty good at it.
Why is life so much easier for everyone else?
Why is life so much easier for everyone else?
Why do I even go on Facebook?
Why do I even go on Facebook?
So be honest, anybody here on Facebook ever feel that way before? Oh, be honest. If you haven't figured it out yet, Facebook is an illusion. It's not reality. I know that Facebook can be a great tool to keep up with your friends, right? I have lots of friends that I didn't even realize existed until I found them on Facebook. People from my past that I don't even remember, but apparently they went to school with me, and now they're my friends on Facebook, and I have to wish them happy birthday every year. It's not reality. Now, I know that it can be useful, okay? And I use it, right, as a pastor to figure out where you were last Sunday. That's what I do. But... I also know that Facebook can be a tool for the enemy to sow seeds of discontent and envy and even depression into our lives. Believe it or not. Thorns. Facebook can help thorns grow in our life so that the Word of God is not effective. Because Facebook is public relations for average people to promote their average lives as exceptional. That's what we do, right? Have you ever seen how many takes and pictures a teenage girl has to take before she chooses the one that will appear on her Facebook page? Have you ever seen that before? Now, Snapchat, not so much. They just take all sorts of... But Facebook, they're going to put that picture on there Man, they take it from all different angles and different clothes, and finally they find the picture. This is the perfect one to put on Facebook, right? And it's not just the teenage girls, by the way. Just between you and me. It's not just the teenage girl. We all want to make sure we're seen from the right angle. The problem is, in real life, we can't do that, right? I can't come up and, okay, everybody, I'm going to preach from this angle. This is my best angle. Y'all are like, that's not working either, Jack. But you get my point, right? Facebook's not real, right? It is public relations for people to put all of the great things that are happening in their life, the new jobs, the exciting places, the food that they're eating, the vacation that they've gone on, the great things that are happening in their children's lives. Very rarely, although I have seen it, very rarely do people complain on Facebook about how awful their lives are. And sometimes when they do, they're just looking for somebody to come in to console them. That's what Facebook is. That's at least what it's become, and that's how it earned the name Fakebook with many people. So your Facebook friends post these pictures about the exciting things that are happening in their lives, and you compare how they look on the outside with how you feel on the inside. And you just can't win that. You just can't win that. And the result is that the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth creep into your heart, and envy, according to psychologists, can lead to depression as you misconstrue your self-image with the illusion of Facebook lives, rather than recognizing that your self-worth comes directly from the Savior, directly from Him, and not from anywhere else. Now, maybe you don't experience this. Some of you aren't even on Facebook. God bless you. But maybe you've never experienced at all what I'm talking about. But I think most of us have, to one level or another. And if you do, I just want to challenge you. Turn Facebook off. Okay, now I'm not saying forever, okay? So don't get too excited. Just try it for a month, you know? Daniel was telling me that he's doing this. He's going to turn it off for a while. You know, just let it go. And you know, maybe in turning Facebook off for a little while, we'll be able to better hear the voice of God. Can you think of that? Maybe because we're not looking and peering into the lives of others, we might be able to actually see our own heart and allow God's word to penetrate it and change us. You say, well, I'm going to miss all my Facebook friends if I do that. I won't be able to keep in touch with them. I got an idea. Call them on the telephone, right? Invite them out for coffee. Meet with them somewhere. Have a real conversation with them instead of just pushing the like button. You know, sit down with them and do life. Just get off the Facebook wagon for a little while. Try it. Try. You don't have to, but I'm just giving you this as a suggestion. The Lord may be able to speak to you again if you do that. What God has to say about you is so much more valuable than what those images are telling you. God has so much more to say. And it's time to shut down Facebook and pick up God's book, don't you think? You see, the fruitful life demands tending. If our life is going to be fruitful the way that God wants it to be, abundant life the way that He has promised us, it takes some effort. And one way that we tend soil is to till it. We need to do some tilling of our hearts and of our lives, right? We need to turn the dirt over in our lives, right? We need to prepare to hear God's word. I wonder how many of us do this. You know, we know each Sunday morning we're going to come to Sunday school and to hear the worship service. And I wonder how many of us take the time to prepare our hearts to hear God's word, you know? Maybe to go to bed a little earlier on Saturday night, which I didn't even do last night, but go to bed a little earlier on Saturday night, and David saw me at the ball game down in Charlotte, and very late, so he knows.
I saw you on Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. And you were jealous too, so. One thing you can't do is control your family's Facebook use, so. You can hide all you want, but you're going to be in those pictures, I guarantee. We need to prepare our hearts to hear the word of God. And what that might mean is just confessing before God, God, I'm not ready to hear you. My life is going 100 miles an hour, and it's hard for me to put the brakes on and stop and hear your voice. There is all sorts of rocks and thorns and stuff uprooting in my heart. And I just need to hear your voice, God, so help me to turn it over. You know, there's this great song that Keith Green wrote in 1977 about the condition of his life, and he was extremely honest. I'm just going to read the words to you first. He said, "My eyes are dry. My faith is old. My heart is hard. My prayers are cold. And I know how I ought to be, alive to you and dead to me." Listen to the song.
My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be alive to you and dead to me. Wash me anew in the wine of your blood. My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be alive to you and dead to me. Oh, what can be done for an old heart like mine? Soften it up.
All right, so that's the type of prayer that we need to pray in order to till our lives for the presentation of God's word into it. To say, God, I've not been who you've called me to be. Help me, Lord, to hear your word as if for the first time, so that it will have an impact and the roots will shoot out and grow deep, deep and strong. You know, we've been talking a lot about being hard. Hope you noticed that last week, right? Hardened clay is not good for making pottery, right? That we need to be softened clay for God to mold us and shape us. Same is true for the seed of the Word of God to fall into our hearts. Our hearts must be soft, where the seed can be buried and where the roots can grow. The fruitful life also demands weeding. Weeding, right? To remove the worries and the idolatry and the wealth and all of these issues that crowd out the word. We need to weed. And that's all I'm talking about, by the way, with that suggestion about shutting off Facebook for a little while. That's an opportunity for you to weed, to get some of those cares and those worries and those stresses out of your life for a short time. Now, you can come back to it later, but I just bet you'll come back to it with a different perspective on it when you do come back. Or maybe you'll decide you don't need it at all. I don't know. James chapter 1 verse 21 says, "Therefore get rid of all moral filth and all evil, the evil that's so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." Humble yourself before God. God, I don't know it all, and you do. So let your word affect me. And finally, also, we need to tend our hearts with fertilizing. to get into the Word, to apply more seed, maybe to overseed, right? To join a small group where the Word can be nourished in your life, where you can talk with others about how the Word works in your heart, to read good Christian books and devotionals that will stimulate the Word's growth in your life, to apply God's Word, to look for something in God's Word that you can obey now, and to just do it. Just give it a try. The more you apply, the more you will experience the life that God has for you, and the more you will want it. The more you will pursue it. Like potato chips, you just can't eat one. See, once you start obeying God's Word and applying it to your heart, one little piece at a time, you will begin to get momentum. You'll begin to see the change that it has in your heart. And the Word will multiply in your life and you will hunger for it. Brothers and sisters, the Lord has abundant life for you to experience. Life beyond your imagination. And He holds out the truth, right? The seed is scattered into your life. Don't miss out. Till it. Weed it. Tend it. Fertilize it. Let it grow. Let it grow and become the person that God has called you to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for my brothers and sisters in Christ that are here. I thank You, Lord, that they have taken the time today to hear Your Word, that they have made this a priority in their life, that the Word of God would be scattered upon their heart. Father, that's the first step. I thank You for that. But Lord, I know that You want much more than that. Lord, You want Your Word to take root. You want us to be obedient followers of You. Lord, thank You that we are saved by Your grace through simple faith. But Father, at the same time, we recognize that You have called us as Your followers to work out our salvation. And so I pray, Lord, that we might allow the Word, the seed of Your Word, Lord, to fall on our lives and to grow and to produce a great harvest. Soften our hearts, Lord. Help us, Lord, to grow. And Father, help us to overflow into the lives of others, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.